Hey, welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
Doing fine. Got all the way through watching the Better Call Saul finale. Did not get spoilers. Did not know what was going to happen. Kind of sad, but it was great. And yes, so thank you for not spoiling it for me. And I hope Johnny, our friend and faithful listener, also got to get there with no spoilers.
Yeah, I hope so too. Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
Doing great, guys. I have a documentary recommendation, the Monte Teo one I watched last night. Saw a little Jim White in there. It was by Netflix. Amazing. Also, really sad for him.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah. Really, really good. But at the end, it's like, I feel like when it was happening, it was like, oh, this guy's a loser, all this stuff, people just making fun. And then you actually kind of, they go through like the time period, the days before, and it's just so insane, the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, really well put together. It's like a three-part series, so.
I'll throw one back.
Recommend.
And we may have talked about this, but the 99 Woodstock documentary.
Yeah, Vingen was all over that last week when he was in.
Yeah, we watched it. It's good, too. So there you go. Do you have one, Robbie? Do you have a documentary recommendation?
No, I enjoyed the Magic School Bus when I was a kid. That was fun.
I used to love that show.
Yeah.
Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues is great.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good, Rex.
Or Hard Knocks 2. I haven't watched the second episode.
I know. We haven't either. So don't spoil that either. I'm sure there's some juicy Dan Campbell.
Just bring
quotes.
Me Dan Campbell.
It'll be all over Twitter today. No, that's the thing. Sure that'll get spoiled. Yeah. Whatever he said, it'll be all over Twitter.
You know what? I'm okay with that getting spoiled. Just send out as many Dan Campbell clips as you want to, world.
Man.
It's beautiful stuff.
10-win Dan.
10-win Dan. Big day today, Joe Rex Road. The Titans and Bucks in action today over at St. Thomas Sports Park. The first day of a two-day practice session between the Titans and the Bucks. We'll get to that a little bit more here in just a few minutes, but there were some roster moves made yesterday by the Tennessee Titans, including Josh Malone, local product from Station Camp, obviously former Tennessee Vol as well. He was cut yesterday by the Tennessee Titans, so Josh Malone not going to be a factor in the receiving room for the Titans for the remainder of camp. We talked about this the other day. I kind of feel like five spots are pretty much set at this point in the receiver room. Maybe there's one more. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Maybe they'll keep seven. We'll see what happens on that front. But I kind of feel like maybe one spot left, and Josh Malone not going to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that he would have been one of the first cuts. You know, the way cuts aren't anymore, it's like you do five, and then you do five in a week, and then you are at 80 until the end. So you really, you know, it used to be a lot bigger cuts down in the earlier stages, and now it's just five and five. I'm surprised he was part of the first one. It almost reads to me like, Josh, for your own good, because you're not making this, get out there and, like, I think there's a decent chance someone actually could scoop him up here. I mean, in the spring, we talked about him a lot. He was really good, and I was like, okay, this guy's going to make the team. And that was also when you just, you know, Burks isn't out there. I did not anticipate what was going to happen with McMath. You weren't sure. So, I mean, Malone's been fine in camp, but I do think that Godwin maybe has surpassed him a little bit, and you could argue that Robertson's been a little bit better. Those three have been very close. I'm still going to go with Dez Fitzpatrick as my pick for six, if there are six.
Jordan Wilkins released yesterday as well at the running back position. So those were kind of the two bigger names. Haskell Garrett, Deontay Burton, and Carson Green also waived yesterday by the Titans as well. But Malone and Wilkins, the two guys that, honestly, fans have probably heard of around here. And Wilkins was always interesting to me because he had some good moments with the Colts, and I thought that maybe that could be one of those sneaky moves by John Robinson that ends up working out well for the Titans at some point, but not to be with Jordan Wilkins here.
Yeah, didn't do a ton. I mean, I thought at least he'd be like a superstar of the first preseason game. I think that was one of my called shots, and he, you know, even in that game, he didn't get a lot of work, so he just didn't really stand out. Like you said, I thought the same thing because I thought at times with the Colts, so it was like, man, how many good backs do they have?
Yeah.
But it didn't really show up here, and it's kind of like now I'm forgetting his name, the guy from the Falcons a year ago, Brian Hill. yep. who had some really good moments in Atlanta, and then it was like, yeah, it's just not really there. So that's kind of like how it goes with running backs a lot in this league. But a big thing about yesterday to me is all the Titans' moves, including a trade with the Raiders.
Yep.
That tells me, well, it tells me for sure, I would say that they want to improve their depth at safety, which we've talked about, depth at safety. I also got to say, like, I'm keeping an eye out on Amani Hooker. He has been out. He was kind of doing some work on his own, seemed fine. Back Sunday, so I was out there. He was out there Sunday, slow day and everything, but he was out doing the stuff, so it was like half speed. And then not again yesterday. I don't know how he would have gotten hurt in the walkthrough stuff, but he has been a little banged up, and that kind of a move, you just wonder, like, is there some actual concern with Amani Hooker, someone to watch this week for? For sure. I mean, that's huge. I mean, those two safeties, yeah, you've got to have those guys.
Yeah, you do.
You've got to have them healthy. So it's been A.J. Moore and Theo Jackson. Theo Jackson also hurt now, by the way. Don't know the severity of that injury, but those moves tell me that there's some kind of depth issue that could be related to injury at safety.
Well, and the Titans acquired Tyree Gillespie yesterday from the Raiders. He's only a second-year guy, so that one's a little interesting. I saw, of course, anytime this happens and there's like a young player, the Raiders Twitter yesterday was like, the Raiders just give up on people way too quick. Oh, my gosh, what's going on? It's like, okay, well, let's calm down. I don't think Tyree Gillespie's going to be a Pro Bowler anytime soon. But
Raiders Twitter's got to be a scary place.
It must be.
Good for you for dipping your toe in that world.
I've been in Raiders Twitter a little too much with Devontae Adams.
Oh, but yep. Yeah, I see. You're trolling.
I'm trolling.
You're in there with a burner.
Yeah.
Talking trash about Devontae Adams.
Raiders suck 1109. My username on Twitter. But yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front. But some moves made yesterday. Now, every Tuesday until the big cut, there will be further cuts by the Titans as we move forward here. So we'll see what happens on that front coming up after this week and after Saturday's preseason game as well. So here we are, day one of practice. And right after we got off the air yesterday, Joe, it was kind of like a laundry list of people who won't be there for the Bucs. So no Mike Evans, apparently. Obviously, we knew no Tom Brady. Chris Godwin has done 7-on-7 yesterday. And I guess there's a chance he could do 7-on-7 here, according to Greg Allman. So we'll see what happens on that front. I guess he could be there.
I mean, that'd be great for the Titans. The Titans DB is getting Godwin in 7-on-7. Yep. I mean, at this point, you're scrounging for players you'd like to play against.
Yeah, you really are.
If you're the Titans.
There was an original report yesterday that Julio Jones was not going to be in Nashville, and my response to that was, well, of course. We can't have any fun at these things. That was later corrected, and it sounds like Julio Jones will be here. So I would imagine, Joe, not only will Julio Jones be here, I guess he's like the pseudo number one receiver coming in if Chris Godwin's not going to do team stuff.
Absolutely. When they go ones against ones, Julio is wide receiver one, a place he's very familiar with. So we'll see. We'll see if it's reborn Julio, a newly healthy Julio. If he's going to participate in these practices, which are going to be physical, then that suggests that he is. Someone last night on Twitter was like, and I just seen this morning, Swimming Totoro says, so which one of the DBs takes a shot at Julio? Like, and then Kaharski's like, to what end? It is interesting, like are Titans players mad at Julio for being hurt last year?
Yeah, like, do Titans fans think like everybody on the Titans hates Julio Jones?
It must be, right? I mean, some must think that, and which isn't true, I don't think at all. I mean, Julio Jones got along well with people here. It's like the texter yesterday, like, well, yeah, but he sat out, or he pouted during a game, or yeah. Okay, he certainly had fights with management there. There was no doubt about that, and it sounds like he didn't always handle it perfectly on the field. But like, hey,
so you expect?
I liked Julio.
Are you expecting Julio to throw down today with somebody? Maybe that's the cause of a training camp fight. We saw a nice one yesterday between the Patriots and the Panthers, a little training camp scrap.
Did you hear what Mac Jones said?
No.
Okay. I got to find this. And I believe that this is – okay, is this guy real? You got to make sure these are real.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, you do.
You got to make sure these are – okay, this is Simon Charles. Yeah, okay, I think this is fake. Okay.
Yeah, I fall for those way too much. I'm like, guys, look. And then I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah,
I think this is
fake. It says Patriots beat writer, but then it, yeah, because it said that Mac Jones just went up to Brian Burns and said a phrase I can't say on the radio, and then there was a brawl. But there was a brawl. Like, there was
brawling. There was a brawl.
I mean, I definitely
Mike
saw
Reese
some...
did not describe Mac Jones at the center of it a few minutes ago on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Yeah, okay. I saw that. I was like, wow, Mac Jones. Gee whiz. That stuff gets retweeted, and then you just sort of see it, and you're like, well, you just take it as fact.
Well, we know that, you know, Tannehill's got a different attitude around here this year, and he's fired up, aggressive, ready to go. Maybe Mac Jones is taking kind of a page out of his playbook this year.
Maybe. Maybe he's noticing from afar the complete transformation of the player in person of Ryan Tannehill.
Maybe so.
Tannehill's out here. He's got, like, tattoos and earrings, green hair. Mohawk out here just swearing left and right. It's been wild, man.
Just a wild situation. Can't wait for that to be put on the practice field today for the Buccaneers to see in person. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What are you looking for in day one of Titans practice against the Buccaneers? And there's one thing in particular that really intrigues me. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is day one of practice day between the Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Joe, there's one thing in particular that I'm really interested to watch today. Now, we'll get to the second part of this here in just a few minutes, but we brought up Julio. Like, honestly, other than that, the Titans' defense, I think, should play pretty well, given the fact that Blaine Gabbert is the quarterback they're going to go up against, and Julio Jones is the top receiver. If they struggle today, that would probably be a little concerning to me if I'm the Titans, but we'll get to that a little bit more here in just a few minutes. I think the one thing that I'm really looking forward to today and that I think we're going to learn a lot about is the Titans' offensive line against that defensive front of Tampa. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, offensively for the Buccaneers, there's a lot of people missing. So I don't know how much of a true test the Titans defense is going to get. I think the Titans offensive line is going to get a heck of a test the next couple of days. And Dylan Raidens, Nicholas Petit-Frere, you know, even a guy like Aaron Brewer, who I think at this point is probably locked down a starting spot on the offensive line. It's not just about the spot. How good of quality is the spot for the Titans? Like, I think we're going to start to learn a little bit more about that as the Bucs come in here this week with that massive front that they have. And we talked about the, you know, the huge guys up the middle yesterday. They got some pretty good edge players as well. I think we're going to learn a whole lot about the Titans' offensive line the next couple of days.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Titans' offense overall to me is that group should get a really good look the next couple of days. And I'm not totally up on – I just haven't seen – I'm sure there's a couple guys who are limited or missing or whatever, but I haven't seen much about it. It seems like just about most of their defense is out there. So we talked yesterday with Greg Allman. Great name. Looking forward to see Greg today out there on the practice field coming up from Florida. But about Akeem Hicks. You know, of course, Vita Vea, those guys blot out the sun. Will Golston's a good player. But, yeah, on the edge, I mean, Joe Tryon is, I really like him as a young player. Shaq Barrett, we know him. I mean, they're inside backers. Devin White, Levante David, it's, you know, they're front seven. You think about the Titans' front seven, which we've talked about, you know, where does that rank in the NFL? This group, especially if they get like vintage Akeem Hicks when he's been at his best, and he's getting older, but if they get the best from him, I think like Akeem Hicks at what he's been lately is better than what Ndamukong Suh, you know, has been later. And so I think you may have an upgrade there and terrific speed and everything at linebacker. That's a great look. And then, you know, their secondary is not like all stars all over the place, but Winfield and, you know, Murphy Bunning's pretty good players. All around, I think the offense is going to be really tested here.
I agree. And, you know, it's one of those things, too, you throw Tannehill in there as well. Like, this is going to be a good look for him against a defense that can get after you at times. I know he's not going to get hit, so, well, hope not. Hope he doesn't.
Well,
hope he didn't get hit.
If he does, he's going to go Mac Jones on some people.
Yeah, he might have to. But, you know, the Titans receivers the other day, the last time that they were on the field, kind of struggled to get open and create separation. I agree. Like, the defensive backs that they're going to be playing against here, they're not all world or anything, but can you, if you're trailing Burks, or, you know, I think we know Robert Woods, but if you're Racy McMath, like, can you create some separation and make some plays against this defense in a team setting? Like, it's one thing to me in 7-on-7, like, the offense should do pretty well in 7-on-7, but in a team setting, can you make some plays and get open and move the ball down the field? I think it's a pretty good test for them today.
And let's not forget another safety of the Tampa Bay Bucks, who used to be a corner here, Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
Trying to get a ring with Tom Brady. So what's he got left in the tank? I could see, you know, I've always wondered if he was one of those guys who would move on to be a safety later in his career. And that'll be interesting to watch too. And I agree, like 7-on-7. See, what should happen is they should, if they blew the whistle quickly enough on 7-on-7, then the defense could win a fair amount. But the problem is, at least here, I feel like they let the quarterback
get all day to sit back there,
linger, and finally throw it, you know. So, but 7's still a good look. And again, on the other side of the ball, hopefully for the Titans defense, they do get to see Godwin in 7. I mean, if he's out there at all right now, that's great news for the Bucs, by the way, this season, to have him coming back. Like, Evans, I think, is a minor there, although hamstrings can linger.
They can linger.
We do know this. But, it's all going to be – it's great look for the Titans offense, and then just focus on everybody. See if everybody's, like, signing up to try to cover Julio on the other side.
Man, if I was the Bucs and Mike Evans had a hamstring injury, I'd just say, hey, man, we'll see you first game. Just sit down the rest of the time. You don't need to practice. We know you can play.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, you and Tom have played together. It's all fine. Just, cool that thing down.
We blaming Julio for that? Julio shows up, and all of a sudden, there's hamstring injuries left and right for the receiving core?
The hammy cockle virus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Julio's escaped it so far.
Well, and the Titans, by the way, and I know, like, I'm saying this, and, like, someone over there is like, shut your freaking mouth. But, like, the hamstrings that were just all over the place last year, so far, we have not seen that.
Oh, boy.
Have they figured something out? They certainly have.
Stretching a little better?
I don't know. I know everybody wanted to fire all the trainers last year. But, I mean, look, it's two things. Vrabel, and I loved what he said last year. Like, guys, we're asking about the trainer right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is medicine. You know, like, this isn't proprietary stuff like football. Like, everybody shares information in the medical community, right? Like, they basically do the same things. But he also did talk this year about how they went through and, like, said, what can we do? What, you know, as of course they should, and of course they did. Just saying, right now, they're not having hammies. And, in fact, they're really not having, like, I think there was, like, 4 guys missing yesterday. The problem, I guess, is if you have a couple of safeties, then you're already thin there, and that's why we see some moves we saw yesterday.
All right, so I'm going to ask you to do something on the fly here that I've not warned you about, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
3 individual players that you're most interested to see today against Tampa Bay. Three Titans. So they could be on either side of the ball, 3 Titans that you're most interested to see play against Tampa today.
Well, I'm still going to go with Caleb Farley, even though, like, Mike Evans would be a great look. That'd be fun to watch Caleb Farley try to tango with him. Hopefully he'll get a chance to cover Julio Jones, and Julio Jones is – I think he's running well.
Yeah, I mean, seems to be.
So I'm going to go with him just because I still think that ultimately that's the key to this defense taking another step is being solidified at corner. And then, I got to go Brewer. Just because at times he's just, he's
– he might be outweighed by 100 pounds out there.
He's got a house trying to fall on him out there, you know. And, it's a great look. Like, it's an extreme look. You won't find many – you just don't find guys like Vita Vea out there. There aren't many, especially who can move like he can. But that will be really interesting to see, how he does there. And, I mean, if I have to just go to three, you know what? I'm going to go because you could obviously go to the right tackle too. That's big. Both those guys, they've got very tough people to block. That's probably as big as anything in terms of the Titans' future. But I'll go Racy McMath. He had a tough day the other day. He's getting opportunities. Mostly he's winning a lot against, you know, his own defense, more than you would think. So what does he do now? Does he do that to another team? How does he do over 2 days? Does he solidify himself as, like I said, hot take the other day? Right now, I think he might have a little bit more of a role than Burks right now. I don't think that's the plan, and there's plenty of time for that to change, but he's earned himself a lot of opportunities.
Well, and then Burks, too, number one, like how many looks does Burks get in the ones period? That's going to be interesting to see as they go through the next couple of days here. Number two, regardless of when he's out there, whether that's versus the ones or the twos, like can he make some splash plays out there? Like that's to me pretty interesting. Like I still look at him with the size and speed, and just regardless of whether he's a rookie, fifth year in, whatever, like just the bare bones of the size and speed. Not a whole lot of guys that have the same setup that Treylon Burks has there. So, you know, how much can he use that to his advantage, and how big of a storyline will he be the next couple of days? I think that's something really interesting to keep your eye on. And look, honestly, I don't really care if it's against the ones or twos. Just go out there and make some plays if you're Treylon Burks.
Yeah, for sure. And again, he's slowed down a little bit. Almost had a splash play in the preseason game. I'm sure he'll get one if they're going to keep giving him work in these games. Now, I suppose in the third game, that could be like, wait, you know, that could be absolutely just, you know, let all these guys put some stuff on film to help them. Like, I mean, it may not even be an evaluation game for Vrabel, but in this one.
Beauclair thinks that there could be one of the next two where Malik plays the whole game. Could be just the Malik Willis show out there.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Now, if he does, that tells you that he's not getting the backup quarterback job.
Correct.
Like, they're fine with it. But I don't know. Maybe they're like, you know what, Logan? Let's go out there and let's not throw picks this time. Yeah. You know, that could be. But I could see that for sure. But, yeah, for Burks, big opportunity to, you know, get some momentum. Excuse me. Get some momentum going again.
No question about it. We had an interesting conversation yesterday related to this debacle going on at the University of Kentucky. I'm going to just continue to get shots
Disaster.
In. Disaster.
Meltdown.
Just absolutely.
Everything's fine.
Atrocious. Yes. Behavior in the athletic department.
Scrap the program.
Yeah, no question about it.
Send them out of the SEC.
We had an interesting discussion, kind of off that conversation of the feud between Mark Stoops and John Calipari, and took it to Tennessee and Vanderbilt. If you're picking among football, men's basketball, and women's basketball, which coach are you absolutely clamoring to keep if you're a fan of one of those teams? We'll continue that discussion coming to next. We got a lot of good reaction on that yesterday as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have our weekly visit with Paul Kaharski coming up at 8 o'clock, talking Titans. Looking forward to that. The legendary John McClain on the show today as well at 9:05. So looking forward to that as well. Anytime you can get John McClain on the program, big day.
Yeah, need to give him an hour, really.
We really do.
Probably should just give him the whole 9 o'clock hour. If he'll take it, we'll give it to him. Yeah, the floor is yours.
The floor is yours.
Well, tell us stories.
That's right.
Thank you.
615-737-1025, our text line, experiencing some technical difficulties at the moment. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
You'll have to speak directly to us. But someone on the text line yesterday on this discussion about Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and coaches, and who do you want, who do you want to get rid of, keep, all that. Someone was like, Rex Rhodes said major programs, and then he said Vanderbilt. Ha ha ha. No, I'm paraphrasing. But the point, I was talking about the sports.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and we were going to talk about Vanderbilt and Tennessee. I was talking about the sports. So football, men's, women's basketball.
Archery is not part of the discussion here.
Well, look, I mean, Vanderbilt, elite bowling program.
I know.
Vanderbilt, tennis, golf, you know, they have a lot of great programs. Tennessee has a ton of Did you say, Michelle, yesterday that Tennessee?
Yeah, I need to find the exact stat, but if you like combine all the SEC schools, all the sports, Tennessee is like by far ahead of every other school in total wins.
State of winners here.
Interesting. So I wonder if
they apparently have a phenomenal rugby team.
But see, that's rugby's not that wouldn't count in that.
Club. Right?
Club.
That's club sport.
But that's intense.
So softball has been very good.
Yeah.
We know about women's hoops. Interesting. Good for Tennessee.
So if somebody can find that, let us know.
I'll look it up on the internet, but not on the text line.
Yeah, not on the text line. So I said yesterday, I think that the Tennessee – so when you're breaking it down this way, of football, men's basketball, and women's basketball, because I think especially with the two schools that we're discussing, baseball at the moment, given the way both those programs are going, be pretty easy in terms of, yeah, I think we'll keep that coach, Vitello and Tim Corbin. So we're going to leave baseball out of the discussion at the moment.
Yep.
Football, men's basketball, women's basketball. I think to a degree, both schools are hard to figure out, although I still stand by what I said yesterday. I don't think you're going to find very many Vanderbilt fans that will pick Jerry Stackhouse in this conversation. The Tennessee one is really hard to me with Heupel, Rick Barnes, and Kelly Harper. I picked Rick Barnes yesterday. I think I'm still sticking with it today, but I think the average Tennessee fan – probably when you factor in the first year, number one, obviously, you know, number two, the time of year that we're talking about this right now.
Oh, yes.
And number three, the recruiting that continues to go well. By the way, another big recruit landed by Josh Heupel and company the other day on the defensive side of the ball for Tennessee. So they keep rolling on that area. I think most Tennessee fans probably picking Heupel at this point would be my guess.
Yeah. So on the recruiting thing, and, I mean, again, this may be unfair to Heupel, but I mean, the way things have gone, does he deserve less credit for recruiting than, like, you know, than a head coach 3 years ago would because of the Spire Sports and everything? Like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's
going to be really interesting, not just at Tennessee, but everywhere to monitor around as you move forward. Like, how much, like, it used to be that's a big part of how you're evaluated as a coach is how well do you recruit. And I think it still will be to a certain degree, but there's also some part of it that's out of your hands at this point too.
I mean, you still have a big role, but yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if everybody gets to the same place, which I think will happen, like I mean, to some extent, I think everyone's gonna figure out. Like, you better have some group putting together like some financial package. Like, you know, if you're coming to SMU now, you're gonna get, you know, you're gonna get $36,000 or whatever. Okay, that's good. That's money to, that's spending money. And then, you know, if you become a star or whatever, then you can get bigger deals. But I think everybody's eventually gonna get there, but some are ahead of others. Tennessee's ahead of a lot of programs. But yeah, that's interesting. Because I think if it wasn't all that stuff right now and it was just the old way and they were recruiting like this, it'd be like, what is it? This guy's incredible. This guy's crushing it in the living room. And again, he may still be. That's what's hard, is knowing exactly what's happening with every single recruitment. But the thing about Tennessee is we know what one of those coaches, the one you picked, is, and still don't really know for sure the other two, right?
Yep.
Kelly Harper, I think, has been good. But at that program, the Final Four is, and that's the expectation. So can you get that done? Can you compete for an SEC title? But we know more about her than we know about Heupel.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you said, it was a pretty good year. And right now is when optimism runs wild.
Yeah.
Especially with some fan bases.
There's no question about this. So I don't think we ever got down to this yesterday. If we're having this discussion about Tennessee and it's Heupel, it's Harper, and it's Rick Barnes, who's Joe Rexroad picking?
I don't know. Did I not give an answer?
I don't think so.
You said maybe Heupel, but you weren't sure.
Yeah. I'm probably going to do the same thing that you did, because I don't know that Heupel is going to be great, and I don't know that another question of this is, like, could you go out and find someone who you feel great, like, who would do better than the person in question?
Right.
I mean, there are certainly better, more established coaches, and I thought Tennessee should have gone after them when Holly Warlick was fired. I thought Philip Fulmer, you know, and frankly, I thought Philip Fulmer should not have tried to go for I thought he should have gone outside the program and said, you know what, you can't just keep trying to bring Pat Summitt players in, like, you have to. But, look, so far that looks good. But I still think with that job, you could get a lot of really good established coaches to be interested in that job. Football, I think we kind of saw. Like, it's I mean, look, in the
maybe
wake
it's
of,
different now.
Yeah, but in the wake of Pruitt and everything, that was going to be the low point of, like, I'm not touching that place. If Heupel gets it to where at least that they're, like, not embarrassing and they're fine and they can win to a certain – then I think you – the other things about that job still always look good, right? So maybe at the least, Heupel makes the job more attractive for the next coach. But with Rick Barnes, I mean, look, you can go find a good coach, but like what he's done with that program is he's way, I think, turned around and exceeded what the program history is, right?
There's no question.
I mean, football and women's basketball have tremendous histories at Tennessee. Men's basketball does not. I mean, Ernie and Bernie, yeah, you know, but
I mean, can you not make the argument? And I don't know that I totally buy it because Bruce Pearl before all that stuff happened with Bruce Pearl is probably the way I'd go. But can you not make at least make the argument that Rick Barnes is among the best coaches in the history of that program?
I think without question, I think it would be, you know, Ray Mears.
Yeah.
I think would have to be in there, but it's probably those three, right? Mears,
Pearl, I think it has to be.
And Barnes. And we're not even, you know, we're not, the Heupel is, you know, but year one.
That's the thing, we just don't know
yeah,
with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, don't know with him. So, yeah, the safe pick is Barnes. They're recruiting extremely well still. You know, look, at some point he's got to do something with a really good team in the NCAA tournament. That's a killer what happened to them last year because that was a team that could have done something. But I think that would be my pick.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yes, St. Peter's.
Yes.
Thank you.
Michigan.
So you're comparing losing to...
Yep, I'm comparing them.
Okay.
Yep,
all
yep.
Right. Okay, all right.
St. Peter's also beat Murray State and Purdue, okay?
That's great.
Yes, let's bring it back to ripping Kentucky.
Yes. So the Vanderbilt side of this is interesting because, quite frankly, I think you have a higher opinion of Jerry Stackhouse than most Vanderbilt fans do. I do wonder, like, between Clark Lee, because Clark Lee, I said this yesterday, like, I don't even know how to begin to judge Clark Lee yet. I just don't think you can. Like, the roster that he took over was so bad, and there's so much rebuilding that has been and will continue to be required of that job that I don't even know when we're going to start to really – judge him. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to get better on the field, and we'll see if that happens this year. But that program was so far down that I don't even begin to know whether or not Clark Lee is going to do a good job at Vanderbilt yet. I like the recruiting. I like him. Like I like a lot of what I've seen thus far, but how that's going to translate to win losses, I have no idea. You know, Shea Ralph, I think, is very, very impressive, and I think has laid a foundation that they could get back to being a really competitive team in the SEC. But those two in particular, like, you just, you know, I think you don't know about Heupel and Harper for sure, but I think even to a larger degree, you don't know about Lee and Shea Ralph at this point.
Yeah, one thing about Lee is that, I mean, look what happened with James Franklin. He came in and did really well, and yeah, there were some conditions in his favor and all that. The timing was pretty good for him, but still, I mean, 24-15 at Vanderbilt over 3 years is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
And he comes in and gets an indoor belt too, by the way, just immediately, like, let's go, right? But also, then you knew he was moving on, and that's the hard part for Vanderbilt is if you do find someone, like, had they hired Lance Leopold, who was a finalist, who I think actually is going to do awfully well at Kansas. I think he's really good. I think he's going to do some things at Kansas that most people haven't been able to do. That's my guess right now. But you know what? That also means in a couple of years he's going to be hired away.
Yep.
So the one thing about Clark Lee is the fact that he's born and raised in Nashville and he's a Vanderbilt guy, if he does have success, you actually may be able to have longevity because if he does have success, trust me, He will have other head coaching opportunities. You come here and figure this out, you're going to be very attractive to ADs all over the place.
Yep.
He might stay, and that is something to keep in mind. Don't know if he's going to get it done, but if you're thinking long term, it could be good.
Yeah, very well could be. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue this discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Call in.
Did Chase hit the button for like the cold air to is he mad at us about the text line or something? Is that why?
Maybe so.
Like, yeah, I've been freezing in here.
Hit the freeze button. I knew I screwed up by not bringing a sweatshirt today. Dang it.
I feel okay.
Yeah, you're tougher than me.
I don't know about that.
If you're not dying a little bit inside right now, you're tougher than me.
Oh, okay. Taking your thoughts. This is a really interesting conversation. So we've kind of based this off of the feud ongoing in the Kentucky Athletic Department between Mark Stoops and John Calipari. By the way, really enjoyed that conversation with Kyle Tucker yesterday. Check it out on wherever you get your podcast if you missed it yesterday. Good conversation with Kyle Tucker. But basically throwing the question out there, if you're a Tennessee fan or a Vandy fan, or you can take it, whatever school that you root for, between the football coach, the men's basketball coach, and the women's basketball coach, if you were forced to choose to keep one, which one would it be? Who are you picking? I think a lot of Tennessee fans would go Josh Heupel. I'm going Rick Barnes. I know Tennessee fans are going to look at me and say, well, you never want to win in March? I like getting to March in that program. I still, and I know this sounds crazy because it happens every year, and they never advance in March. But, like, at some point, and I don't know how much longer Rick Barnes is going to do this, but, like, at some point, they have to break through and make somewhat of a run, don't they?
Well, they did make the Sweet 16 with the with the Grant Wade. So it's not like they – and they had to earn. I mean, they had to fight to get past Iowa, to get there, and then that's a tough loss still, that Purdue loss.
It was.
I'm trying to think of like that weekend, the loss to Purdue by Tennessee, and then the loss by Purdue to Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. But that's why it's the best tournament
ever.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I mean, look, there's it's not nothing. And again, I believe that it's not just like Rick Barnes, screwing up or not having the formula. I think it has become a thing now where it's like they so badly want to end the narrative that maybe they think about that too much. And I think they're in their heads a little bit about it. So maybe it never happens. I don't know. But I'm with you. If you keep recruiting like this and coaching like this and having teams like this, the math says you're gonna break through at some point.
You would think so.
I mean, he has been to a Final Four. One Final Four with all the teams he's had, it's not good.
Not good.
So you weigh that against everything else. Everything else is tremendous, but that is kind of a big deal. Of all these six coaches of all these schools, I think more of Stackhouse. I think more Vanderbilt fans, I don't know, like, are excited about Stackhouse, but aren't like completely out on him than you think. There are some who are out on him for sure, but I think there are some who aren't out on him. I know some who aren't out on him. But
I'm not saying everybody's out on him.
But of the six, I would say that he would probably be the most likely, or people are like, okay, you can get someone better.
Yeah, that's well, and
like
he's also
early for Ralph. It's early for Heupel. Right.
And
early for Lee.
That's the thing. Like, he's been around longer than these other ones that we're talking about. I mean, Rick Barnes has been around for a while, but Rick Barnes has also had a pretty good track record of success. Like, it's not comparable. So, I mean, Heupel, Harper, Lee, and Shea Ralph have not been around very long. So, I think there's, with those four, it's just kind of that natural curiosity of, you're kind of still in the honeymoon phase with all of them. Like, Heupel, I think, is a perfect example. Because things are going really well right now, and we'll see how this season plays out. But there's a lot of positivity around the Tennessee football program. It's not like this is the only time there's been positivity around the Tennessee football program.
No, especially early, in a coaching tenure.
Like, we saw it with Pruitt. We certainly saw it with Butch Jones. Like, this has happened before. Now, I
Did
think
you see it with Dooley?
I don't know if there's much positivity with Dooley.
But still, like, after a year, there was still a lot of hope.
Yeah, there was.
Of course.
So, look, I do think personality-wise, Heupel is probably way better positioned to handle this than those other two were.
Seems that way.
But it's still very early. And things, as we know, with this job, it can change very quickly. So, you know, you go out this year and you're 5-7 at the end of the year, all of a sudden we're having a pretty different discussion about Tennessee football as they move forward. So, I just bring all that up to say things can change very quickly. There's a lot of positivity, but I still don't know about Josh Heupel. Like, I am not willing to just sit here today heading into his second year and say, yes, Tennessee has found their answer at coach. I like him. I like a lot of what I've seen. I think the thing I like most about him is game day coach. I think he's pretty darn good, whereas Jeremy Pruitt, Butch Jones, I didn't think were very good on game day. Like, I think Josh Heupel is, and you know, offense especially is where he's got his expertise. I think he's pretty good on game day.
I agree. It's still okay to pop a timeout late in the first half rather than
– it is.
You know, like sometimes it's like, you know, yeah, the defense gets to catch their breath, but you also just save 25 seconds and you have a better chance to score. A couple times that happened last year, I'm like, yeah. But for the most part, I'm with you. He was good on game day and – just, I mean, what that offense did to people wasn't just because they went fast. But is you know, are they going to have a good defense? They did a lot of good things, but ultimately they weren't good. It was also, you wouldn't even expect them to be good with all the people they lost and everything. So it's just so much more to find out about that. I think at the least, Heupel looks like he's going to be a good bridge coach. You know, a bridge coach to, okay, you've taken it to a pretty good spot. Now maybe you can go get someone who can take it to the next level. But maybe he's the guy who can do that.
Maybe so. And then Clark Lee, like, so we brought this up last segment. I'll ask you, when do you think it's fair to begin to judge him? Because, like, you know, to a certain degree, you're going to look at the team this year and you're going to say, all right, well, did they get better? Like, is there a significant difference from last year to this year in terms of the quality on the field? I will say this. You know, it was a low bar that they started with last year. I totally understand that. About as low as it gets. But I did think there was tangible improvement last year as they went along. Now, that didn't show up very often in the win-loss record, but I do think they got better. Like, at some point, it's going to have to show up in the win-loss record. But, I still think we're probably a year, maybe 2 years away when he gets it's just his classes in, before you're really having an idea of where this thing's going with Clark Lee.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, like you said, you can't have a worse debut, but you compare how they played in that game against East Tennessee State to, like, the game at South Carolina, which they should have won, but didn't, you know, which is also a problem. But still, like, the overall play, they improved a lot last year. To me, like, first of all, you got to win some games that should win. You should win your first two games. You should win this game at Hawaii, and then Elon is coming in here and be 2-0. And, I mean, Hawaii, you know, Timmy Chang is taking over, which is great for history and all that, and that would be fun if they got good.
It takes me back.
Yeah, he was fun to watch as a player. But that's a disaster program. And their defense is so bad. Like, Vanderbilt should run for 200, 250 in that game. But anyway.
Mike Wright should have some fun in that game.
Yeah, so, and that's another thing, like, They've gone the Mike Wright route, so how much better is he? You know, how much has the coaching helped him take another step? I mean, there's things you can look at this year. And then on the Stackhouse front, real quick, this is a huge year for him. They have had progress. They have maybe not as fast as some people would like, but I think people should have an open mind. But especially because his recruiting finally took a big leap, and this is one of the best classes they've ever had, honestly, coming in. Certainly one of their best classes in a while. You know, not as good as the Bryce Drew class of a few years ago, but it's a big time class. If he can recruit like that, you would think that he'd have success. But you gotta get to the NCAA tournament, no doubt, in this job after a few years.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the NFL. A lot of movement this offseason with wide receivers. which wide receiver on a new team, including maybe A.J. Brown, do we think is going to have the biggest impact this year? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.